Tom, welcome along. Sport and Life, final edition of 2023. I'm not quite sure how quickly we'll get the video up of the podcast. It might be after Christmas, but thankfully you've got a wonderful Father Christmas hat on just for the occasion. For people who are listening,
I've got my little Christmas t-shirt on as well.
Police Department Santa.
He's been arrested. You know, we don't want that. We need our presents to be delivered, which is what we're talking about today, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to talk about presents. I hesitate to make it strictly Christmas presents because I don't remember exactly when I got all of these gifts, but just some things that I remember, particularly from childhood. And actually, there's a couple from adulthood as well of landmark gifts, presents I got related to football, because often you'd be getting books at Christmas, remember cufflinks, things like that. I think once people knew you're a football fan, as a kid particularly, it was like everything revolved around that. I mean, I was still getting birthday cards, still am, around football now at the age of 42. So people often associate you with it, and it's a big part of growing up.
Yeah, me too. Still get the football Christmas cards. And for my 40th last year, a lot of the presents were football related, specifically Sunderland related, a lot of them. There's, in fact, there's one. Can you just see? Let me get my finger right.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
So that was from Pete Graves. I'll not zoom in on it, but it's it's Clive Tilsley was doing these team sheets.
Yes.
From big games. So that's the picture below it is separate, but that was the playoff final when the final whistle went when Sunderland beat Wickham to get promoted from League One. And above it, that's Clive Tilsley's commentator's notes.
Awesome.
With a personal message with a message from Clive Tilsley on it. And that was a present from Pete Graves. So there you go. Even at my 40th, that's one of the many kind of Sunderland-related presents, football-related presents that I got. And with Christmas coming up, I'm certain that there'll be plenty of things from the Sunderland Club shop coming my way from my son as well.
Beautiful. And that's really fascinating, the commentators' notes as well, isn't it? When you see people, I remember even working at BBC London with commentators, really good ones in my opinion, Nick Godwin, Al Goodwin and Phil Parry, who worked for Capital before that. Phil Parry did Capital FM in the 90s, and their notes were awesome to look at, how much information they kind of put into an A4 spreadsheet. It's just really cool to see.
Yeah, and all the highlighters as well, all the different coloured highlighters. And this is the thing, like all commentators, they are all the kings and queens of research, aren't they? The amount of prep they do. And yes, okay, at big places like Sky and others, you do have a stats department who are there to help, but they're only there to help. The commentators, I mean, they are on it. And really, really in awe of them, really. And what I wanted to do before becoming a presenter, I actually wanted to be a commentator before this. And I'd actually still like to do it maybe later on in my career, but they are the kings of prep and queens.
Yeah, it's interesting because we do obviously prep for Sky Sports News, but you have to kind of prep across loads of different sports events during the time. So it's kind of more superficial, might have some cricket, might have some golf, have some football on as well. So you have that kind of superficial understanding of updating those sports with a few stats and facts. But actually for the commentators, they go deep, but a good commentator will tell you often they don't use probably 90-95% of it. It's just there in case it becomes relevant, because you've got to be in the moment and commentating on what's happening first and foremost.
Yeah, exactly. And there's just the commentators. It's a completely different skill to anything else.
Yeah.
And to become the kind of best in your field is, if you think about like Martin Tyler was commentator of the year so many times, Ian Dark as well, John Motson before that too. They're voices that the viewers and listeners just trust.
Yeah, we should do our top five commentators, shouldn't we, or something, or top five commentary moments in the new year. That would be a good
yeah,
topic.
Yeah, good one, that.
Yeah, yeah. No, Martin Tyler, even the Aguero moment, said nothing was scripted, whereas some tend to script it. There's a big difference between radio commentary, audio commentary and video commentary, TV commentary. So it's a good area to dive in. Right, Tom, five football gifts. What have you got for us? What's number one?
Well, no, I'm actually going to start with the answer that you will get from any footballer and any football manager when you ask them, when you're trying to have a little bit of fun in a news conference. So what do you want for Christmas? They always, every single one, no imagination, no nothing, just say, or just want 3 points.
Three points, I was going to say.
So my number one, and I'll be honest with you, Sunderland don't get it very often for Christmas, but my number one is just 3 points, because that's what every player and manager will say, I can guarantee.
Even your new manager as well. You got the managerial shift there, haven't you? A new manager.
We do. Well, no, crucially, head coach. We have to call him head coach. He has nothing to do with their recruitment. But yes, Sunderland have appointed Michael Beale. The reaction from Sunderland fans hasn't been particularly positive. Sunderland fans will always give their manager, head coach, a chance. But the fans aren't massively happy with this appointment. However, I've spoken to a lot of players who played under him, and they all say he is a brilliant coach. And then fans of other clubs all say, terrible in the transfer market. But at Sunderland, he doesn't have a say in transfers.
Yeah.
We've got a recruitment team. They buy the players. Our head coach just coaches them. So actually, it might work. It might work. And obviously, I hope it does.
We can see that link to the club I support as well, Manchester United, because actually Erik ten Hag was fantastic at Ajax, and people say that there was a system, obviously it's well documented, the Ajax kind of system above him, which was imploded a bit this season, but clearly ten Hag's had influence over Manchester United signings, but actually that hasn't quite panned out in terms of the players who used to play for him, like Antony and Sofyan Amrabat. But maybe there will be a bit of clarity at the club with Sir Jim Ratcliffe coming, where that is taken out of the hands, because the legendary managers of yesteryear that we grew up with obviously did everything, like Sir Alex Ferguson. But it is interesting looking back at time of managers, because in terms of gifting them, one thing you could gift the manager, I guess, is a bit of time and a bit of patience. Because I looked at Busby had 7 years till he won his first title at Man United. Shankly had 5 years at Liverpool. Ferguson, 6.5 years. I think nowadays it's kind of less and less patient, isn't it? Because even Sunderland were just outside the playoffs when Tony Mowbray left.
Yeah, and we were third in League One when Lee Johnson was sacked as well. We've made a habit of this, and I think the issue with Mowbray and with Alex Neil before him was that they wanted to have more of a say in the recruitment, and the answer was no. And ultimately, it was from then on it was kind of a, I don't like to use the phrase dead man walking, but no other phrase is coming to mind any better than that, because that explains what it is. It's like, well, you knew when you took the job you're going to have no say in recruitment. It hasn't changed. So what's the problem? You can debate that all you want. I'm not offering an opinion on that. I'm just saying that's what happens. And the days of Brian Clough, Sir Alex Ferguson, Sam Allardyce as well, where they do everything, gone. And might never come back.
No, very much a global game as well now, isn't it? So you kind of need people to work full-time on it, to scour across the footballing world. Right, here's one, and I was trying to search for this online, so you might be able to confirm that I'm definitely not making this up, but I had two of these. I think first one I got when I was about 10, second time about 12 or 13, and it was the classic football pencil case. Do you remember that? It was half the sphere, and then you had like a straight line on the binder of it, and you'd open it up and you had the little kind of pockets to put your pens in and stuff like that, little rubber, little pocket bands you put in there. And I thought the football pencil case was by far the best pencil case you could have. And obviously that probably changed a bit when the girls started looking at me a bit funny when I was 14 or 15, but early on, it was the coolest way, because getting a pencil case was a big part of being at school, wasn't it? Getting that right for the summer or the new year.
Yes, I've got to admit, I know exactly what you mean, but I never had one. Not by not because I didn't want one or anything like that. But I was, I actually think that like my mum just wouldn't let me have one. I think she wanted me to have like a
sensible,
a sensible one. You know, I wasn't kind of allowed a football one, but I definitely would have taken it. Although eventually, I did manage to get a Sunderland one, so football related, but I didn't actually have the football one that you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't work out why you can't get them. I thought it would still be a hit today. They were quite big though, weren't they? Because they were sort of a big spherical shape, so maybe got in the way a little bit. I don't know.
I'm looking up right now. Football. Let's see what comes up.
There's some sort of like pouch style ones, just with football pictures on the side, but they're not the same thing, because this was like a flat, like faux leather pencil case that you just slide back.
The one that you're talking about is not coming up on the top, like 100 images is not coming up. sadly. But football related ones, obviously, you can still get. But see, that one is kind of like it, but it's not quite. It's, can you?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Because I saw an image there that was a little bit like that. Yes, got the black. Yeah, because you had the black and white kind of
but it's
squares, like
different.
Premier League
But
football.
It's a different shape.
Yeah, I had one in blue with the squares in blue, and then obviously white, and then one was black and white as well. I think you could even get one in red and white as well, potentially, which is not really like a football, but maybe like a lot of people's teams' colours.
Yeah, well, that's obviously what I would have gone, as you can see from my background, red and white everywhere. Right, I've got one for you.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't like going in goal and never wanted to be a goalkeeper, when you're just playing with one friend, someone's in goal, someone isn't. So I and everybody else, they wanted a pair of goalkeeper gloves. And
yes.
My son, for instance, I mean, you know, I'm 5'8". His mum is 4'10". So my son is going to be tiny, right?
Well,
he's
never
tiny
know.
Now,
there could be an ancestor in the background.
I might need a paternity test if he ends up being 6'6". But he wanted a pair of goalkeeper gloves. And these days, even the kids' goalkeeper gloves are like brilliant, you know,
yeah.
Fantastic. But back in our day, can you remember, this is why I'm doing it, can you remember,
yeah,
like, call them the Peter Shilton gloves from the 1990 World Cup? They were yellow, like just kind of like a
yeah,
yellow, like cotton,
yes,
but like woven cotton with these like bobbly rubber,
yeah, all over the
bobbly rubber
fingers,
bits on the fingers, and I don't, yeah, and on the palm. Can
yeah.
you remember?
Yeah, and I remember I had a Schmeichel pair, I think, from like 91, and they were just like almost like regular gloves. They weren't the big bulky leather ones you had before. They were just sort of little strap-on gloves, almost like gardening gloves, like you say, with a bit of extra kind of padding around the palm.
Yeah, and I had those in yellow and blue, because the England goalkeeper tops back then were either like a yellowy gold or blue.
Yeah.
And that's what, and the goalkeeper gloves were to match those. That's why I call them Peter Shilton gloves, because he was in goal at the time. But yeah, that was, I can remember how they felt. They were weak. Nothing like the ones you get these days. And I've got to say, goalkeeping glove technology has improved for the better.
Yeah, much softer, weren't they? Almost like kind of like wearing a pair of socks on your hands or something. They weren't
Yeah,
really.
It was.
It's funny thinking about goalkeeper gloves, because even I think recent times, you think about COVID and all the anxiety over hygiene and washing your hands and surfaces. Do you remember when you were playing five-a-side? And I remember this relatively recently, the last few years even, like someone would have one pair of gloves and you'd have to rotate the goalkeeper. And then people would put the gloves on and they'd absolutely reek. And you'd just put them on and be thinking, oh my goodness, my hands are pretty disgusting. Sometimes I just thought, no, I can't put those on. I'm just going to go barehanded for this and deal with it.
No, I was too soft to go barehanded. I put them on.
The communal gloves. I love it. Right, next one for me, number two, is a Manchester United shirt, 2009-2010, because at the end of, oh, actually, it'd probably be 2010, 2011, sorry, the Aeon one from that era, because I left
little
Absolute
checks.
Radio.
Little checks on it.
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah, I did. 2000 and what was it? Yeah, 2010. I left Absolute Radio. Been on the Breakfast Show for nearly 3 years, and they bought me as a parting gift off the Christian O'Connell Breakfast Show United shirt, signed by all the team. Christian, Richie Firth was a producer. He's now the Drive Time presenter on Absolute Radio. Maggie was on Travel. Andrew Bailey was head of news there, and it was really sweet. I've still got it. Still got it in my drawer at home. Lovely sort of memento. I've never worn it to play in, but just keep it safe. And I think that's always, it was interesting. That's an obvious gift for them to give me, but it was fantastic to get that United shirt, which was around the time, I suppose, that Ronaldo had left the club and Wayne Rooney was becoming the central striker and did a fantastic job actually combining with Antonio Valencia, and in particular, a lot of crosses from the right-hand side. He was nodding in that season in a central role. So I would have been the end.
I seem to remember Van Persie in that shirt.
I think the Aeon one is the white Aeon in the middle. It's probably less developed.
Okay.
So
I'm just looking it up. Manchester United. Oh.
Yeah.
Turn. I'm just trying to see if it's the. Oh, so the. So.
It's
oh,
a 2010-11
yeah.
season. Yeah. Yeah. It's the white V to it. And then.
Oh, man. This is right.
Yeah. You can see. Yeah. It's the one in the middle. The one in the middle, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I know which one you mean. Yeah, okay. I do know. Yes, it's not the one I was thinking of originally, but right, okay, nice. Nice, yeah. Four shirts always a good one. I get my son low. Actually, I tell you, I'll confess. I was up at the Stadium of Light, went in the club shop, got my son loads of stuff for Christmas, and I was so excited to give it to him. This was in like October. I was so excited. I was so excited to give him it that I couldn't wait till Christmas. I gave him it all straight away. And my wife was like, "Oh, now you're gonna have to replace them to
Yeah.
give him things for Christmas." Like, yeah, well, I don't care. Like, giving your kids football like stuff, whether it's stuff to play with or stuff to wear, it's a healthy thing, isn't it? You know, it's
Yeah.
a, you know,
Inspires them to get out and get moving.
I always remember my so the friend who lived next to me, we would always play football together, cricket, yeah, constantly outside playing. I remember he always had like the latest stuff, and they weren't rich at all, but he always had like a new football, always had all the gear. And he'd say, and his mum, I remember overhearing his mum saying to someone, I will buy them anything they want, any sporting stuff they want, as long as it gets them outside, stops them hanging around on the street, stops them like getting into trouble. They can have all the sporting stuff they ask for, they can have, because they're going to use it and they're going to be doing something like keeping them out of trouble and something healthy as well. And actually, those words have always stuck with me because I agree with it completely.
Yeah, definitely healthier than an iPad or a computer game or something like that in terms of getting you active. And I think it's important for kids to have that passion, isn't it? Particularly when you get to the teenage years, when then maybe you can go a little bit wayward at that point. So I think it's really good to have that. Tom, what have you? Is it your turn next or is it my turn? What are you going for?
It is you with the Manchester United Aeon shirt there. And I tell
Yeah.
you what, just as you were talking about computer games there, it's just brought one into my mind, and I can see it out my eye. I'm going to bring it over. Because do you know what I mean by a FIFA card?
Yeah, was that
So I'm about to show you one.
the
See,
Mega Drive, was it?
no, it's modern, right? So
Oh.
I don't play FIFA. I play Football Manager. You know, it's
Mm-hmm.
always have. I'm addicted to it. I shouldn't be playing at the age of 40, but I'll still be playing it at 50, I'd
Is that the new
imagine.
name for Championship Manager? Was it originally Championship Manager?
Yes, so that's now Football Manager. So what you get is these FIFA cards, and it has a player's stats on them. So you see, like, Manchester United players will have a picture with them with their FIFA card, and it might say pace out of
Oh
100.
God.
It might say 60, and they might get annoyed saying, "Oh, it should be more," as a joke. But let me just get you this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure Manchester United stats be looking fantastic at the moment.
So this was a present that I got. So this is a FIFA card,
Oh,
right?
Tom White.
Yeah, now is that's back, that's coming up back to front, isn't it?
No, I can see it. Well, I don't know. I can see it
All
my
right,
side.
fine. To me, it looks like it's back to front, but it says, so I've got 78 out of 100. It says
Yeah.
I'm a right back. That's my head on John O'Shea's body, by the way. All right. Dribbling. Oh,
70.
so pace is 56, which is a bit harsh.
Yeah.
Shooting 45. Well, shooting, actually, I was very accurate at shooting. I just didn't get any power on it. Passing 75, which was a forte of mine. Dribbling 70. Well, that is a nonsense. Dribbling while drunk, maybe. Defending 83. Well, that's a nonsense. Physicality 4.
Four
Well,
out of 100 for physicality.
I'll tell you why that's a nonsense, because it's actually three too many.
Blown
But
over by the wind, Tom.
these FIFA cards are good fun. It's actually a good present,
They're brilliant.
and I got one of those.
Yeah, dribbling's high. I love it. I love it. Fantastic stuff. So you've given the next one, haven't you? You're
Actually, I've
like
just realised, I think that DRI isn't dribbling. I think it's drinking. Actually, no,
70 out of 100.
that's ridiculous, because it would be 99.
Ah, what a star. So that's your next one. I'm going to go for 2002 World Cup England shirt, which was brought to me around the time of my 21st birthday when
Red
England.
stripe, one red
Yeah.
stripe there. Yeah, I had that with Gerrard 4 on the back.
Yeah. And I had Mad Dog 21 because it's my 21st birthday. And because in our house at university, we had animal names. We had Chris Watts was a rat because he basically would get drunk and hang around dumpsters for old pizza outside Domino's. We had Adam Fox was a very hairy man. It was the beaver. Then we had Al the silverback gorilla upstairs and Toby the swan. He was a football teammate of mine, but very, very relaxed. Maybe a lot going under the surface, but very kind of preened and proper. well turned out, lad. And I was the mad dog, because I was supposed to chase my own tail at university. So that was it, the mad dog 21. And I remember walking back from the student union after Beckham scored the penalty against Argentina to get redemption for the 98 sending off. And just remember people hooting their horns at me. Everyone was happy. And it kind of encapsulates not only a great time at university, having that camaraderie of being in a house full of football loving lads, but also just that time when you really feel the country's united, and those special moments when England do well that you remember down the years when you go out into the streets. And English people aren't famed for their extravagant kind of enthusiasm and things like that. But at those moments when the sun is shining in a World Cup and England have won, particularly against a big rival like Argentina, it was a fantastic, fantastic moment. People, you know, the England flags were fluttering in people's cars and they're cheering and beeping the horn because I had the England shirt on. So it was a good time.
Yeah, it was. I was actually living in South Africa at the time. I was working in a school.
Oh, cool.
So I remember, South Africa and England, the time difference is sometimes 1 hour, half the year, there's no difference at all because they don't change the clocks, we do. So it's either an hour or nothing. But remember that the problem was the World Cup that year meant that we were watching games at breakfast time, weren't we? Rather than nighttime.
Yeah, it's South Korea and Japan, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember watching that game, it was just called the Sports Bar, a massive place. And there was actually there wasn't a lot of English people, but there were a lot of people supporting England who were South African. And South Africa were actually in that World Cup. And I remember them causing an upset. I was working in school, and the whole school was allowed to go into the cinema room to watch South Africa when they were playing.
Oh, really cool.
That was great. But I remember that so well. Beckham with his broken metatarsal still took the penalty and scored it right down the middle, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I had that kit though. I had that Gerard 4 I had on the back. But did he not miss the tournament through injury in the end, Gerard?
I don't remember Gerard playing in that World Cup.
I think he might have missed it.
Nicky Butt was sent to mid, wasn't he?
Because he played and scored in the 5-1 against Germany to qualify for it, and that's when I got the shirt with Gerard 4 on the back. But yeah, that's one of my favourite England shirts, that one.
Yeah, what a player Gerard was. What a win that was. Tom, what you've got for us next?
Oh, Pasek. Yeah, can't go without this one. I've gone Sabutio.
Oh, man, Sabutio. Of course.
And by the way, this is the thing. I was so excited to get it. Setting it up was great. But I didn't actually like it that much.
Really?
Like, it hurt my fingers when I was flicking the figurines. Rather than playing against someone, I would set the teams up and just, like, play against myself rather than flicking it, pretending the left was taking on the right back or the goal that... The goalkeeper with that weird sort of was on the end of a weird stick, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's hard to get it right. You had to practice a lot, didn't you? But remember in our era, it kind of exploded because you mentioned kits and all the teams had different kits. And I had the Manchester United black kit from the early 90s and the Newton Heath tribute kit, the green and gold one. So I had the outfits for United teams in those. But you end up playing like one version of Man United versus the other one. But
I had two. So I had two teams. As in two Sabutio teams, Sunderland, obviously. But for some reason, I don't know why, but it was Sunderland and Chelsea. I don't know who bought me Chelsea or why.
No.
But Sunderland and Chelsea were the two teams that I had. But even though I wasn't a massive fan of it, and I don't miss it, I did like the kind of concept of it and the green map we would put down. Nowadays you'd use it more for tactics, wouldn't you, rather than actually playing Sabutio. But it's a classic game. You can't not mention Sabutio in your footballing Christmas gifts.
Yeah, I love the green bays and the whole pitch mapped out, but my dad thought it'd really help me out. Because you usually get it out of the packet and you put it onto a table and spread it over it each time you use it. But he said he actually stuck it to a wooden kind of frame. But the problem was the frame didn't quite cover it all, so like one corner was all floppy when you put it out. It was kind of a different level, so it wasn't quite right, but I loved that. And table football as well. I remember you sparked my memory that I got table football one Christmas when I was about 8 or 9, which was fantastic. Loved that. And obviously you still get that in the arcades and things like that, bowling alleys. It's always good fun.
And the table, I remember getting that 1 year and being very proud of myself that I put it up myself.
Oh,
put it out
nice.
the box and did it all my, and I was only young and I was really proud of it in my life. My parents couldn't believe that I'd done that myself. Because I was the only, like, no one ever asks you what you got at GCSE, but I got one A, five Bs, three Cs, and a D. And the way the world is, sadly, you know, kind of going off topic, sadly, because the world is very focused on negativity rather than positivity, or someone always asks, what was the D in?
Yeah.
Remember, I said one A, five B's, three C's, and a D, right? No one asked about the A. They asked about the D. D was design technology. I was absolutely useless at it. So to this day, that was my best design technology achievement, was putting together the table football on my own.
Yeah, I'm not very handy at all. My only accomplishment. Yeah, it's interesting how that can inspire you to be more kind of handy is when you got football. Yeah, exactly. But I got three A's, six B's, and an E. And the E was design and technology. For some reason, I did metalwork and I had to make a skateboard rack at the time. I was into skateboarding. And the guy, the teacher, ended up making it for me at the end because he wouldn't let me near the flamethrower thing. So it was that was the climax. But that was it. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't do cooking or something. It'd be more practical because I was just wandering around chatting to people during my design and tech GCSE.
Yeah, it was not... I was as useless as you, believe me.
What was your A then? Was it English?
French.
French?
Yeah, and then I went on to do A-levels and did English, French, and Spanish. And I did a year. I went to school in Scotland. Don't know if I've said this before, actually. Up there, there's a qualification called a Scotvec.
Okay.
And a Scotvec in Chinese, which Mandarin. So I did English literature it was, because you didn't have a choice of language, which would have made more sense for our job. But English literature, French, Spanish, and a Scotvec in Chinese, Mandarin. So
amazing.
I wanted to be a linguist, and I can barely speak any of those languages now. So it was pretty much a waste of time, and they haven't helped me in my career one bit.
Hey, that's impressive. My A was, I got an A in French and two in English, which is interesting. We're not rivaling David Garrido as the linguist expert at Sky Sports News, because he's very
Alex
much
Aljo. Alex Aljo has beaten him, and before that there was Kate Mason. Kate Abdo.
Yeah, Kate lived and worked in different countries. Yeah, always impressive when people can do that, particularly working in football. They can switch between them. Number four is a Cheltenham Town shirt, I think from the 2018-19 season, away blue shirt. It's actually one that was given to my daughter Zoe, because I went along. Cheltenham said, I'll come down to the game, and I went down to and very gratefully accepted an invitation to sit in the hospitality suite. But the condition of it was that they had, for their hospitality guests, the former manager, John Ward, who'd been there from 2003 to 2007. And they asked me to do like a little impromptu Q&A with him in the middle of the room. And to be honest, I wasn't an expert on Cheltenham from that period. I didn't live in the town, but I kind of quickly did some research on my phone or whatever. But I was with Zoe. I'd managed to get her along. So Carla wasn't there. But Zoe, at the age four, didn't want to sit down on the table and just sort of listen. So she stood up with me. And while I was interviewing the manager and another ex-player, she was holding my hand. And then she started to unpack my pocket. So she was pulling the wallet out, getting the wallet open, and in front of everyone. And Michael Duff was the manager of Cheltenham at the time, who's recently left Swansea, and wishing him the best of luck getting a new job. But his wife, Jess, was there and with her kids. And she was just absolutely cracking up because Zoe was just unpacking my entire pockets while I was stood there trying to interview the manager. So that was a special moment. And they gave Zoe an away shirt of that era to commemorate it, which was really grateful because it was massive for her at the time, but she still wears it and it's helped. She's not a football aficionado, but it's given her the sort of a slight passion for it, which I'm grateful for. And she likes wearing it. She likes putting the kit on. Like sometimes she'll just go and put the kit on and kick the ball once and then run back inside. But it's enough to entice her out for one moment of football, which is good.
Yeah, excellent. Oh, I love that. I've actually found that football clubs can be very, very generous to... I mean, when my son Emmy, his first game, Sunderland v Hull, 4-4 draw, everyone made such a fuss of him because they... Whenever people would come over and say hello, say, oh, it's his first game, and suddenly someone would come back with something, came back with a Sunderland pad and a really posh Sunderland pen, and like silver pen, which he uses all the time. He got a Sunderland hat, Sunderland scarf, Sunderland teddy bear. And they really made a fuss of him. And I'll never forget that. And he'll never forget it as well. I mean, he'll also never forget the fact it was 4-4 draw.
That sets the bar high, doesn't it, for the rest of your football life?
Exactly. Right. So my final one, I'll keep it quick because it's Christmas and there's turkey to cook. let's keep it short and simple. This one, a football. You can play with it anywhere. Yep. It doesn't matter with if you're lucky enough to have a garden. Brilliant. If you're playing on the street with the other kids on the street, brilliant. If you've got a park you can go to, and some of them have even got little goalposts. Brilliant.
Yes.
You jump a goalpost. Brilliant. A football. If it's a nice soft one, you can even play in the house. Football. Simple present. Enjoyed by everybody. Can't go wrong. Even if you don't like football, you can play catch with it. Great.
Love it. Yeah. Mitre Delta, first football.
Oh, no way. Mitre Delta, my parents would never spend money on the real thing. It was always it would be the cheapest. I mean, there wasn't Sports Direct back then, but these days it would be like the Sondicos from Sports Direct. But that's fine. You don't need to be spending as long as you've got, it doesn't. I mean, we didn't need Mitre Deltas at the age of 6 or 7, did we?
No, they're quite heavy. They're quite heavy, actually, in fact, at the time to move around. My number 5 is quite simply an England 1990 shell suit off the back of the World Cup my parents bought me, which was unreal. And I think there's some murmurs that shell suits might come back, and they're listed as more of a 1980s thing, but they were around the early 90s as well. And they're kind of nylon, rustled everywhere you went, had the inside like white kind of sort of inner lining, but I pretty much wore it every day that I wasn't at school. Had the white patch, the navy blue, 3 lines on your left, and a little bit of red as well. And the England Italian 90 shell suit was fantastic gift for me off that, because
I would do anything. I mean, you know, I'm into my retro kits and stuff. I would do anything to get a 1990 shell suit top. I've got actually got the one from 92 where we struggled in Euro 92 in Denmark, wasn't it, under Graham Taylor. I've got that one.
The blue one. Pale blue
one. It's mainly white, but with some blue on. And it'll be worth an absolute fortune. It's in good nick as well. But the 1991, I've had no joy getting hold of. And I've actually stopped searching for it because it would be so expensive.
Well, I wish I kept hold of it, but I kind of wore it into the ground. I think we even had a fire at that time. It was like little ashes of flames that had come off it, because that was the problem with shell suits. They were quite flammable as well. Final just mention that I thought a classic football present is to buy someone something that you kind of want. So when I was 18, I'd been working on my gap year for a little bit. I bought a football goal for my brothers for the back garden. And of course, I benefited massively from that. So that was a huge moment for me and my 3 younger brothers. But that was a good football gift. If you're looking for one, I think a goal for the back garden was, I don't know, got me even really excited at 18 to have that.
Yeah. And you can get goalposts now that kind of fold away, so that if you don't have a garden, but you can go to a park or like I say, somewhere where you can kick a ball around, you can actually kind of unfold it very easily. And it just makes playing football a bit better, doesn't it? And
it does.
And they used to be so expensive. Now you can get cheaper ones that are affordable for everybody. And like I say, you don't need to have a garden because you can fold it away.
Yeah, jumpers for goals are brilliant, but unfortunately it's a bit contentious, isn't it? Was that over the post? Was that in, or what was the, you know, that was always the debate.
Exactly. And yeah, that. And the whoever was the biggest, or like whoever was the more likely to be a bully, they would always win the battle of that one.
Absolutely. My neighbours didn't appreciate me getting this goal for my brothers, because we actually positioned it on our side of the garden just by the fence, and behind the fence on their side was a greenhouse, which, yeah, didn't have much glass in it by the end of the first month or so of having a goal there. So they're very, very understanding. Ingrid was a Swedish lady who lived next door, so she was very kind. Tom, brilliant to chat today. Thank you for all your help on the podcast. It's been great to have you along since the summer months. Merry Christmas to you. And thank you to all the listeners who've joined in, all the people on social media who've got in touch. I think I've got one tweet quickly. I put it out. Observer Book of Association Football when I was 8 in 1975. It was my Bible when I lived and breathed football. That from John Pickup on his favourite gift around football. So that's a classic.
Fantastic. Well, Merry Christmas, Teddy. Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope we get lots of football-related presents.
Yeah, and hope everyone's team wins in the new year, which is probably impossible, but best of luck with it anyway.
I just want 3 points, mate.
Well, yeah, it was 2 points back in the day. It's 3 points now. It's, things move on. Take it easy, Tom.
Oh, right.